Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, reading the first 10 verses. A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the foot of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire."
Advent themes are so big. These momentous words that we have of hope, peace, love and joy, there's so much that can be said about them. Jan, can you just drop me just a touch bit loud for me, please? Thank you. And yet we come and bring attention to these words because we believe they are of inherent value in how we live. Peace, hope, joy and love can set us on the path of the ways of right living. And so we turn our attention to them in the hope that something may take us and cause us to thrive and flourish. I've received a daily Advent devotional from a source called The Good. For those of you who are so inclined, you can go to the website Common Grace and sort of find your way through all the little subheadings and look for Advent devotional. And this is a resource that they have, just short devotionals on reflecting on different pieces of scripture. A range of people there. Some you would know, some you would not. But some wonderful things that are said. This was the beginning of the quote from yesterday. This painting, by the way, is The Peaceable Kingdom. If you research The Peaceable Kingdom, you will find a variety of them. This is one done by John August Swanson. A bit brighter and a bit more colourful, or more of a recent addition to ones I'll show you later on. But this particular devotion from yesterday by Susie Lee, she writes that if enough of us can imagine a life without violence and raise our children accordingly, we can help the kingdom come. There we've connected the two things of an idea that is sown and an action that is formed by that idea. Advent is not just about ideas, and nor is it just about actions. It's about ideas and actions that coalesce in such a way that something is transformed and transforms something else in the process. Advent is, by its very nature, even though we are waiting, even though it's a period of expectancy, it is transformative. If enough of us can imagine a life without violence and raise our children accordingly. And there you might say, well, it might be in a relationship accordingly, or go to work accordingly, or live in my street accordingly, and live in our lives accordingly, we can help the kingdom come. It's an astonishing idea, and it's a very simple idea. What can we do to help the kingdom of which the prophet Isaiah and the prophet John speak of? What can we do to further that? We can first imagine it as worthwhile, and then even if it's only in one relationship, even if it's only with one person, or if it's with 100, we can seek to make it possible. So right now, think of one person, or a handful, or a dozen. I don't have a dozen. My toes are wiggling, okay? Think of that many with whom you could be in peace deliberately. Now, if you think being at peace is just being nice, my encouragement is firstly, go back and read scripture again. This is not a romantic illusion of everything being sweet and trickly sweet, nice. Peace is robust. Peace requires action. Peace requires something of our hearts. And so Susie goes on to say, this is non-trivial though. Peacemaking activist Shane Claiborne, who's been around for some time, peacemaking activist Shane Claiborne says, peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice. That's hard. The act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer. The act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. Peace is a big idea. To raise a generation, as Susie goes on, to raise a generation of children up to this task, we'll need lots of discipleship and the Holy Spirit. We're not raising our children. We haven't been raised just to be good boys and girls, but to be people who pursue peace. To be people who pursue peace. And this is something for which we can long. This is, in its very essence, the idea that when it comes to the to Advent and to Christmas, and sown in our hearts is the idea that you and I can participate in peace. It's our responsibility. It is our call. It is our vocation. And we are to long for peace. Even that very idea of longing for peace, longing for it to come. We could long for the days that once were and say, if only we went back, everything was so much better there. But as Billy Joel, that great theologian, once said, thank you, the good old days weren't always good. And tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems. And if we keep longing for what's been, we will never long for what could be. And if we don't long for what could be, we will never take part in making what could be happen. And Isaiah is about making things happen. And so we have these wonderful words, the wolf shall live with the lamb. Really? The leopard shall lie down with the kid. And we're not just talking of those cute little videos that we see on YouTube nowadays where it's all the rage. Look at this, isn't this lovely? It's across the board. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them forth. Now we take that to be Jesus. It doesn't matter who it is. The idea that a little child will lead us into that place where violence is no longer the realm in which we live. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. This is the peace for which we are to long, and if we keep longing for that way, we'll never long for that way. If we keep wanting what was to be restored, we will not long for the kingdom that is God, that God is looking to initiate. So we must long for this peace of God's kingdom that is here but not yet. And if we long for it, if we have an idea about it, if we keep talking about it, we can move towards it progressively, one step at a time, one relationship at a time, where we are sowing seeds of peace. Deliberately, transformatively, hopefully. For in God's kingdom, and this is really important, there is neither prey nor predator. In God's kingdom, there is neither prey nor predator. This is this way of living in relationship that we see with the lion and the lamb lying down together. It's not just enough that we remove the predators. We need to be creating enough safe places, such as a village well, where everybody can come and drink of the living water and know that they are safe to do so, where they may find life and have it gushing up to eternal life and have it in abundance. We hope for safe places, not just here, but wherever we walk, wherever we may go. We long for God to make us safe places. If we're not safe for people, they're not going to come and listen to our message of hope, are they? And that's where it gets really hard. How does this happen? It begins with you and me. Make us a people of peace, our God, we pray. Because there is neither prey nor is there predator in the kingdom of God. And so we say, well, it's all too hard, Anthony. You know, we remember that used to be the way and it's not going to get any better. Well, no, not with that kind of attitude, it won't. You're right. It's hard work. It takes time. This kind of an image of, you know, all these animals just gathered nicely together. I reckon this wolf here, I reckon he's kind of looking at this lamb thinking, oh, should I not? And the bear and the ox with oxen. Here's the child with a hand over the asp's hole, the nest. One there, one there. And over here, a group of Quakers, according to research, Quakers are gathering with Native Americans in order to find a peaceable kingdom, in order to find ways to live together. Edward Hicks, the painter, the artist for this particular painting, painted this 63 times. 63 times in his life he painted it, apparently. And each time he painted it a bit differently. So much so that by the end, he despaired that this peaceable kingdom would never come into being. And so by his 63rd piece, I couldn't hunt it down, I couldn't find it. I need to do a bit more research. But the animals were looking a bit more vicious, a bit more territorial, a bit more, yes, I like that sheep, I might have a bite of that, thanks very much. He was at a point where the relationships between humans hadn't advanced and progressed far enough to this longed-for hope, and his paintings reflected it. Gina, please don't get any ideas.
But follow themes.
Yes, yes.
We have seasons, and most seasons don't last a whole life.
They don't. They do not. And that's most seasons don't last a whole lifetime. So right now, let's live within this season and say, what does it mean for us to be a people of peace? This is, if only for today, let it be. If only for this one conversation, let it be. If all that means is you withhold that sharp word that you would have otherwise offered, let it be. If it means you don't raise your hands in frustration when you're driving the car and some lovely person crosses in front of you too quickly. If all it means is that you encourage somebody that you've never encouraged before because you haven't thought that they were worth it. If it means that you can plant something in your garden as a reminder, if it means that you write on your fridge, or I have a great idea. No one's coming to the party just yet, but these ideas take time. Of that red wall being covered in blackboard paint, and we invite people to leave messages of hope. Go and write messages of hope on your walls at home. Okay, well, a simple no, Anthony, would be sufficient. Get some butcher's paper. I will be a person of peace. I will pray peace. I will learn the language of God's peace, if only for a season, so that, and you might come to a point where that changes, but make it a season today. Because this is the season in which we are living in. And we can keep throwing our hands up in the air and saying, oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket so quickly, it's not no point, it's not getting any better, I can't wait for it all just to finish. And God's saying, well, actually, I've got a few millennia to go. How soon will you catch up? We're waiting for the world to just move on, and God's saying, you be a people of peace. Stop waiting for something else to happen. It has happened. I've sent Jesus, my son, to show you it's possible. What more would you like? I've sent my prophets to tell you how to do it. I've sent you my prophets to give you a vision of hope. I've said to look for the small things. I've said to trust those whom other people deem untrustworthy. I've said to love the unlovable. I've encouraged you not to abuse people because they don't quite fit your rhythm. I've told you to take responsibility because you know better. What more would you like? Stop waiting for the end. Stop waiting for the end. God wants you to live now. John the Baptist wants them to live in the now. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. But when he saw, and you know, John being John, of course, when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But the words still stink, the words are true for them. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, if you're coming through the waters of baptism and you're going to be baptized and you want what everybody else is participating in, and if you're going to confess your sins and say, hey, we don't want to do this anymore, then you better make it count. It's time to lift your game. If you're going to say that you're going to be a repentant people, then you need to bear fruits that are worthy of that repentance. Yes, it's a slow process. Yes, these things take time. I'm a slightly better, well, slightly different person to what I was yesterday. I hope that I'm a slightly kinder person than I was 5 years ago. But I've got to keep going. Do not presume, and so let me put this in Church of Christ language for those of you who are Church of Christ died in the womb. Do not presume to say to yourself that you're a Church of Christ person. Do not say to yourself that you're fourth or fifth generation Church of Christ. It matters not. Do not say to yourself you've been a Christian for 80, 90 years. Sorry, none of you are 80 or 90 years. Wow. Or do not say, I've been a Christian for 5 years. Do not say, I have played keyboard for the last 50 years or I've been on the dart. Do not say you've been serving teas and coffees. It doesn't matter a dime. It matters not. For God can raise up from these stones. God can raise up from this stone beneath our feet the people that God needs. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Wow. No wonder John the Baptist got a bit fired up. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But I wonder if he leaves a stump behind and waits for the root to take hold again and a shoot to come up. It's powerful stuff, this Advent. It leaves us with this deep thought of keep awake. And here, this is another one. This is another version. Same artist, Edward Hicks. They're looking a bit more menacing, the animals. A bit darker, a bit more grim. And see that this wolf is still on off the sheep. But you've got to keep awake. We have to keep awake. We can keep awake. We can stay awake and look for signs where this peaceable kingdom is taking shape. And so we pray this great prayer that Bernadette Farrell, a great hymn writer of our generation, and she has this, Christ be our light, longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, you are holy people, light for the world to see. Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine, shine in your church gathered today. This is the people prophets keep asking and indicating and saying, you can be this. Not because you're brilliant. I mean, you are, but not because you're brilliant. Not because you're clever or you're wise or you've got a deep heritage in Church of Christ or you've been a Christian or you're ecumenically minded or you're a person of the Spirit, but because God has gifted you with that possibility. And God says to you, I have shaped you. I've called you to live in the ways of right living. Peace can begin today. Peace can begin today. And so as we